Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Soon our blessed Lord will leave his apostles to go back to his heavenly Father. For 40 days he has been warning those whose vocation will be the spreading of the church and the transmission of the word of God. He has been warning them that he will no longer be with them. He who is to befriend you, he says, will not come to you unless I do go. But if only I make my way there, I will send him to you. And also, after a little while, you will see me no longer, because I am going back to the Father. And today he seems to give us his last recommendation in the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, which is certainly very obscure for the apostles in their minds, as they will have to wait for theology to develop little by little this mystery, slowly and carefully to unveil its beauty throughout the early centuries of the church and the early councils of the church. And yet Christ reminds his apostles of his divine filiation because of the mystery of the Holy Trinity, his substantial unity with the Father, as well as the necessity for them, the apostles, to have recourse to the Father in order to obtain from him everything that the Son wills. And so already echoes in our hearts the pressing message given to the children at Fatima by our Blessed Mother, prayer, 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 which seems to be the theme also of today's liturgy. And prayer has a twofold end. As you might know, we usually distinguish prayer of worship and prayer of petition. And the one that today's gospel presents us to us is the second one, the prayer of petition. Probably the most common of our prayers, due to our nature, always seeking for the help and the graces we need, asking God for the help we need, which is already, of course, a form of homage, a form of honor, form of worship. Because we recognize our littleness, our frailty, and we are confident in the strength we will receive from the efficacious operation of His grace in us. And there are two reasons why the prayer of petition is not only possible, but of course necessary for men. First, because God, in His infinite love for us. And second, because of the sore need we have of His help. St. Thomas Aquinas says that all forms of prayers, prayer of adoration, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of supplication, prayer of invocation, all these forms of prayer can be reduced to that one prayer of petition. Christ himself proved that when he gave to his apostles the Our Father, which contains seven petitions, seven requests. Interesting, by the way, that this is the one prayer that the godparents have to recite during the baptism, along with the creed, which is the summary of everything that we believe. But the Our Father is the one and only prayer we have received from our Lord himself, with these seven petitions, which unfortunately would be too long to develop here, but I invite you to look at and read commentaries on the seven requests, seven petitions of the Our Father. Nobody reaches God's presence until he has learned to believe that God exists and that he rewards. That's the important part, that he rewards those who try to find him, as St. Paul says. And this is the whole reason of our prayers, because God rewards. And so the prayer of petition has a true psychological benefit for every human being. It has a profound psychological richness. It implements the whole movement of our religion, from the Latin word religare, which means to bind together. to unite religion towards God, this union with God. Prayer, according to St. John Damascene, is elevatio a Deo, an elevation to God, elevation of our soul, our minds, intelligence, reason, to God. We talk to God as the supreme superior to whom we are totally liable. And therefore, a deep attitude of reverence and veneration is necessary. How easily, maybe, do we talk sometime to God in our prayers as if we were dealing as equals? But no, my dear friends, I'm sorry to disappoint. We often forget this necessary attitude of humility of heart, which is part of that reverence and veneration that we owe God. Now, one might wonder, is my prayer always answered? This is one of the questions our dear St. Thomas Aquinas had when teaching his students. And so St. Thomas looks at two situations. First, the case of the prayer of the just. According to the language of the Old Testament, the just, the one who is righteous in the eyes of God, and so in our understanding, means simply the one in the state of grace. And then we'll look at the second case, the one not in the state of grace, the one who has committed a mortal sin, who has lost this friendship with God. What about his prayer? Can his prayer still be answered by God? So the first case, prayer of the just. There is merit attached to the prayer of the just because of the bond that unites him to God according to his divine adoption through baptism. And so from this point of view, our prayer is vivified by the spirit of adoption, which makes us cry out, Abba, Father. This is a merit that implies a certain value, not equal to the reward itself, the reward being our eternal salvation, heaven promised to us, ultimate reward, but still, merit that is proportionate to that reward. According to a divine plan, a divine ordination of all things, a divine promise without which we would have no strict right to ask and to receive anything from God. Since, once again, there is no equal between God and his creatures. However, rest assured, be at peace. God has given the promise when he said, "Ask and the gift will come. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Everyone that asks will receive, that seeks will find, that knocks will have the door opened to him." And in St. Matthew as well as in St. John, "Believe me, you have only to make any request of the Father in my name, and he will grant it to you." So as we said, because of this divine adoption, we now have a right to receive what we asked for because of this supernatural friendship of charity, willed and established by God, and maintained through sanctifying grace. Take the example of lovers in a couple. Everything tends to be in common, put in common as much as possible. The more love between the two, the more they will share everything in common. The more they will strive for that communion of minds, hearts, souls. Apply this to God now. The same can be said. The more we love him, the more perfect our charity becomes. The more we tend then to that union, the more he will communicate his life through sanctifying grace to us. The more he will answer our prayers. Because again, it presupposes a divine ordination, a divine plan, a divine promise, without which, again, there would be no strict right to receive any answer from God, or right even to receive eternal life. St. Paul says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The soul has a profound certitude of that right now, the right to be heard and to receive an answer from our Father in heaven when we ask for eternal life and all that can lead us to it. Same as for a little child who has a certain right to beg to his parents for the food he needs in order to grow, to be healthy, to live. When our prayers don't seem to be answered or are simply not answered, it is certainly because of our lack of humility of heart. This humility of heart is not sincere enough. It's not purified enough. It's still too interested. Or because our degree of charity is still weak, degree of love for God is still weak. And so that communion between us and God is still too difficult. God would like to put everything in common with us, but we put too many obstacles because of our lack of charity. Once again, keep in mind, of course, what the proportions do to the example here, but keep in mind the example of two lovers in the couple putting everything in common, or not. Or it's simply also because our desires, our wishes, our requests simply do not correspond to what God knows to be best for us. Now, in our relation to others, is our prayer of the just, the one in the state of grace, is our prayer for others, for our neighbor, always answered by God? The difference in the answer that God gives to our own prayers and to our prayers for others is due to the fact that our neighbors can make it difficult for these prayers, these graces, prayers to be heard and graces to be received, because of maybe bad dispositions, because of obstacles that they might put in between them and God's grace. The major obstacle being, of course, mortal sin. So the Lord will receive our prayers in proportion to the intensity of our union with Him, the intensity of our fervor, and the insistence of our prayers, and the nature of what we asked Him. Certainly, He will not answer a prayer, He will not answer a prayer which He would consider contrary to our own good. Or sometimes He will grant us a much better gift than the one we expected in our prayers. That is why our prayers in these matters must always be conditional, come what may. And you understand then the necessity of that humility, humility of heart. Because this conditional costs. For God knows better than we do what is good, what is best, and what is most fitting and appropriate for us at a given time, any given time. So now the second case, what about the prayer of the one who has fallen into a mortal sin and therefore is disconnected from God's sanctifying grace, has cut himself off from his grace? Can God still answer the prayers of this soul? So the prayer of the sinner in that sense, who might also be fulfilling all the requisite conditions of a prayer, a sincere prayer, he truly wants to ask God for something, he truly needs the help that he's asking for, so he seems to be under the right conditions, and yet he's cut himself off from sanctifying grace. So what about his prayers? So generally speaking, the sinner can still merit. He can still merit what he is asking for, not because of a friendly relation with God, not because of this divine adoption which is constant through sanctifying grace, and which gives him then a certain right to be answered in his prayers, not so much because of that now, but because of God's infinite mercy, and goodness. And the kind of merit here that he might receive has three benefits. And this is where it gets a little complicated between merit and sanctifying grace. He cannot receive sanctifying grace. He cannot participate in that divine life because of his mortal sin. And yet, he can receive some kind of merits with three benefits. The first one, it disposes him for the reception of sanctifying grace. Maybe to foster in him deeper sentiment of sorrow, of contrition for his sins, to make a better confession. That's the first benefit. The second benefit, it obtains temporal goods so far as they are useful for his salvation. And finally, it accustoms him to good works, helps him to perform good works. So, of course, not properly sanctifying grace once again, but still, some benefits in order to bring him back to that friendship with God. And therefore, you understand how much more important prayer life is for the sinner then. So as to be in the best dispositions to receive the remedy he needs for his own salvation. And the devil knows that. That's why he tries to trick the sinner, making him think there is no way to get out of these sins. There is no way God will answer your prayers now that you have fallen into sin. So just give up your morning prayers. Give up your rosary. Don't go to Mass during the week. Don't receive communion. Of course, when you have a mortal sin, for sure. But after confession, it tries to trick you. Communion has no benefits for you. So to conclude here, it is essential to remember that God's response to our prayer will first depend on the degree of love we have for him, and the degree of humility also in our prayers, and of course the needs also we truly have. Needs that might be different, the ones we have in mind might be different from the one God has in mind for us. So take advantage of the Mass today to make a little examination of conscience and see if your prayer is always purified from all these attachments from self. As I said, come what may, and as we approach the month of May, remember to give your fiat with Mary. Let it be to me according to me. Let it be done to me according to thy word. I'm sorry. So is my prayer purified by the fire of charity? And see what is the underlying intention you have while praying. And that intention should always be, of course, a better conformity of my will with the will of God. Accepting all things as coming from him with detachment and much confidence. And according to everything that we have said, we can be assured with the great Saint John Chrysostom that prayer is the place of refuge for every worry. Prayer is a foundation of cheerfulness. Prayer is a source of constant happiness, and prayer is a protection against sadness. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.